Thank you very much. We have many points of hashkafa. The Rabbanim and Shul speak every Shabbos about different yesodis in hashkafa. But not every thousands, millions of ideas in hashkafa sater, but not every idea in hashkafa is counted as a yesod in our emunah. We single out specific points of hashkafa as being yesodis emunah for the following din, for the following purpose. Many of you are familiar with the din that if a Yisrael shechts a behemoth, if a Jewish person serves as a shechet, and he shechts properly, so the shechita is good, one may eat it. If a non-Jew shechts a behemoth, even if he knows all the dinim, he does everything properly, so the Mishnah says that shechitas in the behemoth, the shechita is no good. The Gemara states, what happens if an apikoros shechts a behemoth, so the din is a shechitas in the behemoth, the shechita is no good, one may not eat from it. Whether this is a din in a Torah, a din in the Rabbanim, it's a major dispute in the Shulchan Aruch, but that's the din. If an apikoros shechts, we declare that apikoros, dino kinachri, and shechitas in the veil. So how do we decide who's considered an apikoros? So the Aguda decides that the Mizrahi is an apikoros, and Mizrahi, whoever you don't like, so that's the apikoros. But who al pi din is considered the apikoros? So the Rambam tells us that there are yud gimel ikori ha'amunah. He considers 13 points of hashkofa as ikori min amunah. Other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Albo says there aren't 13 Ikorei Hamunah. Rabbi Yosef Albo disagrees with some of the 13 that the Rambam postulates as Ikorei Hamunah. He thinks that they're not even Yesodis and Hashkofer. He disagrees, he thinks that they're not even true. And even others that he agrees with the Rambam, he says the Rambam is correct on most of the points of Hashkofer that he says, but he doesn't consider all of them as Yesodis and Hamunah. Just because it doesn't, and let's say a person thinks that it's raining now. The person thinks the sun is shining outside, so he's making a terrible mistake. It's not raining, it's snowing, and the sun is not shining, it's dark outside. But it doesn't make him an apikoros, so he made a mistake. So a person makes a mistake. Whereas a person thinks that Moshe Feinstein didn't write the Igros Moshe. It's a forgery, it's written by somebody else. So he's making a mistake. It was written by Moshe Feinstein. So someone thinks that Rabbi Soloveitcher never taught at Yeshiva University. So he's making a mistake, but it doesn't make him into an apikoros. Only one who doesn't believe in one of the Yesodis HaEmunah is considered an apikoros. So one of these Yesodis HaEmunah, Rabbi Yosef Albo chisels it down to three. He only considers three Yesodis HaEmunah. Three out of the 13 that the Rambam has. What are the three that he recognizes? So the first is Metzius Hashem, the existence of God. The second is Torah Menashe Mai, and the third is Chavu Ench, punishment and reward. What exactly, and that's the way it's, in Shulchan Aruch, that's the way it's quoted. They don't go into all the details, but all the 13 Yesodis HaEmunah are all considered Yisrael Samunah, the just Hashkofa, but these three are called in the Shulchan Aruch, Metzius Hashem, Torah Min HaShamayim, and Schar B'Yonesh. One who doesn't believe in these, we treat him as Dino Kenachri. He asks his wine if he handles wine, and if he shechts a behem, he shechitos in the behem. So in Yeredei in Hilchas Yayin Nesach, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Tshuvas HaRashbo, that when we say that one who doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShamayim is Dino Kenachri, because Dino Kenachri, it doesn't only mean Torah Shebichzat, it means that he has to believe in Torah Shabbat Pem and Hashemayim as well. Shtei Torahs. Everybody knows that Torah Shabbat Pem and Hashemayim. That's not a Chiddush. But the Chiddush is that we consider that the Yisod in Amunah. It's not just the Yisod in Hashkofa. It's one of the Yisod in Amunah that without that, if the person doesn't believe in that, he's not only considered an Am Ha'aretz, that he doesn't know what our proper Hashkofa is, we consider him an Apikoros Din HaKinach. What exactly does that mean? That we believe in Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat Pem and Hashemayim. So some felt that what this means, some people feel, not felt, some people think that what this means is that God gave a Torah Shebichsav and a Torah Shebalpeh many, many years ago, and it was given, and what we have today is not necessarily what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. It could be the Tanoim corrupted the Masorah, there were mistakes in the Masorah, it could be the Amoraim misunderstood the Tanoim. There's so many arguments in the Gemara as to how to read the Mishnah, how to punctuate the Mishnah, where to put the period, where to put the comma. You can read it this way, that way. So isn't it clear that there are errors in the Masorah? The Amoraim misunderstood the Tanoim, the Rishonim misunderstood the Gemara, the Achronim, the Poskim misunderstood the Rishonim. And what we do today, the Torah as we observe the mitzvahs today, has no similarity living or dead to the Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, but we believe in Torah ben Hashamayim, that there exists. There was a Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, but that's not the Torah that we fulfill today. So the Rambam doesn't say like that. The Rambam, when he defines what this Yisod HaEmunah is, as we all know from the Siddur, many of the Siddurim have the Yud Gimel Ikori HaEmunah of the Rambam. So the Siddurim will quote the text of the Nusach from the Rambam that he writes, Zos HaTorah HaMetzuya Ata BiYadeinu, Hi HaNusunu LaMoshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShem. That we believe that the Torah, as we learn it today, as we fulfill it today, is the Torah Min HaShemayim. Because otherwise it doesn't help too much. The fact that you believe in Torah Min HaShemayim is not too meaningful. It's the same as saying that we believe that God exists, but as many Yom HaSoilim believe, God exists, He created the world, and then He was Mesalik Himself from the world. There's no Yediyah, He doesn't pay attention to what's happening. There's no Hashgacha, He doesn't care what's happening. He doesn't intervene in nature. He doesn't intervene in the affairs of mankind. So this is not our Emunah. Our Emunah is that God created the world, and He knows what, and He continues to know what's going on in the world, and He cares, and He intervenes when He feels it necessary, when he wants to. So just like our Emunah, Mitzius Hashem, and the creation of the world, means that God created the world, and it's relevant today. The fact that He created the world is not ancient history. He created the world 5,746 years ago, and it's on Alta Maisa. It's an old story that's not relevant today. It is relevant. We believe His creation of the world causes that He still has Yediyah and He still intervenes. So too, when we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, what it means is that we believe that the Torah Min HaShemayim is still relevant today. The reason why we fulfill the mitzvahs today is because we believe Zos HaTorah HaMetzuya Ata BiYadeinu Hi HaNesuna LaMoshe Rabbeinu. The way we fulfill the mitzvahs today is exactly the way Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to do the mitzvahs. The story is told of Gratz. I don't know if it's a legend or a true story, that Gratz didn't believe in the Nes Purim. He didn't believe that Nes Purim occurred. But on Purim, he would sit in shul and listen to every single word of the Megillah, because he was Afrum Yekir, and the din is the din. So supposedly the story goes that the Rabbeinu Hirsch, Rabbi Samson, Grateful Hirsch, was his Rebbe at some time, and he asked him, "What are you listening to the Megillah? If you don't believe in the whole thing anyway, what are you listening to the story of Purim?" He says, "No, the din is the din. The din is one. You have to listen to the Kriyas HaMegillah, even though the story never happened. The Chacham made a takana, you have to listen to the Kriyas HaMegillah. Part of the Kisei HaKodesh HaTzbayim." So that's not correct. That's not so. If a person is really such a great historian and is really convinced that it never happened, or a person is convinced that the Tanoim misunderstood the Masorah, or the Amoraim misunderstood the Tanoim, or the Rishonim misunderstood the Gemara, or the Poskim misunderstood the Rishonim, or there's some discrepancy in the way we write Gittin today, the way we do Kiddushin today, the way we eat Matzah, the way we make Tumah, whatever, the way we shake a lulav is incorrect, so he's not permitted to do the mitzvahs the way we do them today. It's an Issa. What he's fulfilling is a man-made Torah. That's not Torah Min HaShemayim. He has to correct it and do what he's really convinced is the correct way to do. The Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah has the famous din that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if a person is davening the Yechidus on Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, the day on which HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole world, he mustn't daven in the first 3 hours of the day. Let's say Chalila, a person is sick, he's davening at home, or he's davening in a hospital, he shouldn't daven the first 3 hours of the day, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara, we don't understand exactly what this means, but the Gemara makes the following statement. The Gemara gives the Rebbeinu Shlom a schedule for the whole day long. What does he do all day long? So the Gemara says, the first 3 hours, the Rebbeinu Shlom sits and he learns. It's a Seder Hayom. And the next 3 hours, he judges the world. So the Gemara says, when he's sitting and learning, there's no Fekerai over there. There's no Lefnim Mishur HaSadim. When he learns the Torah, the Chsid Be'emes, it says in the Pasuk initially, Emes Kinei, the Altim Kor, you should learn Torah, and it's referred to as Emes, that's why we call it Torah, Torah Semes. So there's no Lefnim Mishur HaSadim over there. If you're davening to Hashem Yisbarach, that He should give you a break on the Mishpat, on Rosh Hashanah, don't daven in the first 3 hours of the day. He's busy learning, so the Baruch Hashem is going to give the whole Tekef HaDin. Daven 3 hours, daven in the next unit of 3 hours, because when the Baruch Hashem is judging the world, then He'll do Lefnim Mishur HaSadim, and then He'll give you a break. We would usually have thought just the reverse. When the judge is giving mishpat, so he gives the mishpat, he bangs down on the desk and he says, the din is that yechayiv, you have to be punished, whatever. When you're learning, so yidreihin, yidreihin, so the Gemara says just the reverse. When the Rebbeinu Shlom is doing mishpat, then he'll give you a break, he'll give you lifnim mishur asadim. But when it comes to Torah, when you're learning Torah, Torah dichsid beyam, says no lifnim mishur asadim. The Torah has to be, reina Torah has to be Torah semes. Where does this notion come from though? That a lot of people think like this. Many Balabatim think that the laws of the Torah are binding, even though they're in error, even though everything is all a mistake. And the Torah that we, the Torah and the mitzvahs as we fulfill them today, were not really given to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a mistake. There was Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu. There was Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, but there were discrepancies, there were errors. And what we're fulfilling today is really all one big mistake. Where does this notion come from? So I remember many years ago when I studied in the college, we had Dr. Fleischer, still around. So he told us he teaches English literature. He's a very interesting person, putting it mildly. So he told us that years before, when Herman Wouk, oh yeah? I didn't know. When Herman Wouk was teaching in Yeshiva, I think for 1 year or 2 years, he mentioned to Dr. Fleischer that the whole theme of his book, The Cain Mutiny, was based on a Rashi on Chumash, where Rashi says that authority is binding even when it's in error. The theme of the book he got from the Rashi and Chumash, and Dr. Fleischer asked us, where's the Rashi? He looked for the Rashi, he couldn't find it. So we told him, the students, it was an advanced course, so the students told him it's the Rashi and the Chumash, and the Pasuk, in Chumash, Parsha Shoftim, the Chumash Dvarim, where it says, that you have to listen to the Pesach of the Bezna Babel. So Rashi quotes from the Sefer, Afila Yinin Shuhu Smol, Vasmol Shuhu Yinin. So the simple reading of the Rashi is that the authority is binding even when it's in error. Even though the Bezna Babel says on the left that it's the right, and the right that it's the left, they're clearly making a mistake, but you have to listen to the Pesach of the Bezna Babel even if it's wrong. This is the attitude that many Balabatim have, that if, let's say, a certain rabbi gives a hashgacha, and we know that that hashgacha is of kaparis, that the food is probably not, may not be kosher, it's probably not kosher. So many Balabatim will have the attitude, look, that rabbi said it's kosher, so I have the right to eat it based on his tzah. And if it's not kosher, so he'll burn in Gehenna. It's his responsibility, it's not mine, but he said that it's kosher, so I can follow his pesach that it's kosher. Or many times you'll have Balabatim, you'll hear Balabatim saying, the rabbi said so-and-so that it's permissible to do such a thing. The other Balabas says, what are you talking about? It says in the Gemara, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's not correct. So the other one will say, I don't care what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. If this rabbi said it's okay, so it's okay. And if he's making a mistake, so it'll be his punishment. I have a right to follow the rabbi, even if he's making a mistake. So this, I don't know if consciously it's rooted in this Rashi, but maybe it's rooted more in the Kain Yutmi. Maybe some people got it from the Rashi, some people got it from the Kain Yutmi, that the authority is binding, even when it's an error. So the Ramban writes in his commentary on the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Chalila v'Chalila, that this is not correct. This is clearly not correct. We believe that we fulfill mitzvahs today because Torah min ha-shamayim means the way we're fulfilling the mitzvahs is min ha-shamayim. Zos ha-Torah ha-mitzuya ato bi-yadeinu hi ha-nesuna l'Moshe Rabbeinu. Not there was a Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu and what we fulfill has no similarity, no resemblance, living or dead. No. We fulfill the mitzvahs today the way we do, believing that it's correct. And if it's an error, we're not permitted to follow these Bnei HaTorah. They're not Bnei HaTorah, they're not from the Shemiz Bar. The man made dinim, unless it's a din midirabbanan, that the Chachamim have the authority to make up. But if they're telling us, above a ma'aser, that this is a din min HaTorah, and we know that they're in error, it's us to follow their din. The only time that we follow the Pesach, even when it's dead wrong, is in Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana. The Mishnah Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that even if the Bez Nagodl makes a mistake as far as Kiddush HaChodesh, determining when Rosh Chodesh should be, or whether the year should be Hashanah Muberet or Hashanah Pshuta, so there we derive from the separate Pasuk, Ela Miyad HaShem HaShetikru Osam, in Parashas Emor, where the word Osam is spelled Chosav Vav, as if it's written Atem. So the Gemara Darshan is Atem Afilu Mutim, that even if the Bez made a mistake, the Pesach of the Bez is binding. That's a special din, the Pesach of the Bez is binding even if it's an error. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, we don't have such a din. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvahs, in his commentary on Sefer Mitzvahs, is the first one to pose this problem. What do we do with that sifrei that Rashi quotes on Chumash? Afilo yimin shu small bal small shu yimin. Can it be that the psak of the bezin is binding even if they're dead wrong, even if they're in error? The very first Mishnah Maseches Ha'iriyas tells us just the reverse. Maseches Ha'iriyas deals, the beginning of the first parak in Ha'iriyas deals with the din. What's the halacha if the bezin ha'godol paskin that something is mutter? And the majority of Bnei Yisrael follow the Pesach of the Bez Nagodl, and they do this thing. They say it's permitted to turn on lights on Shabbos, let's say. So everybody's turning on lights on Shabbos. If the chief rabbi said it's mutter, so it's mutter. Well, what do you want from us? It's mutter, is mutter. And after the majority of Bnei Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael, the rov Bnei Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael, follow the Pesach of the Bez Nagodl, then the Bez Nagodl realizes that they made a mistake. And 5-10 years down the line, they decide they made a mistake. It's really a biblical prohibition. It's an Issa Deraisa. So what do? Does every individual person have to bring a korban chatas because he was mechal Shabbos b'shegeg, or not so? So the Chumash says that the Bez Nagodl brings one korban chatas on behalf of everybody. That's called a par helam dovah shel tzibur. So the very first Mishnah, and then everybody gets a kapara with that one korban that the Bez Nagodl brings. So the Mishnah mentions, and the very first daf in Hurriya is that this korban, the par helam dovah shel tzibur that's offered by the Bez Nagodl, will only atone for those people who violated the chilul Shabbos or whatever, they ate the chalav or the dam, or they did the other deserve, whatever it was that the Bez Nagodl said was permitted, and later on they realized that there was an error, this would only serve as a kapara for those people who did this Yitzir, because they were following the Bez Nagodl's psak. They thought the Bez Nagodl knew what they were talking about, like we should assume, and they followed their psak and they did the aver, and turned out that the Bez Nagodl made a mistake. But what happens if there's a Talmud Chacham who lives in that generation who knows that the Bez Nagodl is making a mistake? So then the Mishnah says, even if he mistakenly thinks that he's permitted to follow the Pesach of the Bezin even when they're in error, he will not be miskaper, he will not gain atonement with their bringing of the carbon. He has to bring his own carbon, he needs his own kapara. So the Gemara says, what was his error? His error was that he thought that you're permitted to follow the Bezin even when they make a mistake in Pesach, And the din is clearly not so. You're only permitted to follow the Bez Novel when you don't know one way or the other. So you have the right to assume, and you have the obligation, the right and the obligation to assume that the Bezin is not making a mistake. But if some Talmud Chacham knows that the Bezin is making a mistake, he's forbidden to follow the Pesach of the Bez Novel. He's not allowed to announce that the Bez Novel made a mistake and no one should follow them. Then he has a din of his Zochem Mamre. So he should shvayt, keep it still, and do what he knows is to correct it. He has to follow what his Yidui is. So the Ramban, in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, is the first one to pose this stira, this kasha. How can the Sifrei and Chumash say Yamin is small, Afilo Yamin is small, Asmo Shu Yamin, that the Psokim of the Bezen HaGorla Baini give him an error, if the very first Mishnah Heria says not so? What is it, a Machlekes HaTanoim? Some want to say it's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So the Ramban assumes that it cannot be. He says that's absurd. The authority is Baini give him when it's an error. It cannot be. If they're wrong, they're wrong. How can you say Yamin is the fault? So various suggestions are given to resolve this contradiction. Going a little historically out of order, and if you look in the Sefer Melamed Lohoyel, at the end of the Sefer, he collects various suggestions on this kasha, the Ramban's kasha. Going a little or a lot out of historical order, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who just lived in the last generation, he was killed by the Nazis in Europe, Rabbi Chanan suggests the following interpretation. He says that the Sifrei that states, Afila Yamin Shul Smol, Bal Smol Shul Yamin, doesn't mean that the Bezin is making a mistake. No, it means a completely different thing. The Bezin Avodah gets up one fine day and they say like this, even though it says in the Chumash that one is required to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, whether Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday or Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, we, with the power vested in us, as the Bezin Avodah will tell you, recommend to you, and forbid you to blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shecholiyiz B'Shabbos, because we are afraid, Shema Yavarena Dalaramis B'Shusarab. Not every community is blessed with an heir. So we're afraid that maybe your community won't have an Erev, and maybe somebody will carry. And that's worse. Carrying on Shabbos is worse than not blowing Shofar. So we recommend that nobody should blow Shofar, lest Chalila some Jew should be Mechal Shabbos by carrying. So Rabbi Chanan says that he thinks that that's what the Pshat is in the Sifrei. Afila Yamin Shu is small, Val Smol Shu Yamin, the Bez Novel will tell us, although the din is so, we tell you not to follow the din. Follow the Takanas Chachamim. Follow what we are instituting as the Takanas Chachamim. And Rabbi Chanan claims that this is the source of the sugya Maseches Yivamis and Daf Peches Peites Daf Tzadik, the whole sugya of Yeshkeach V'Achachamim Lakadavim and Atorim. The Gemara says that the Chachamim not only were given the authority by the Chumash to institute Gezeiris, like the Chachamim have the authority to make an Issa Derabbana and not to carry in a Karmelis. What do you have to make an Erev for? What is this, a Rishus Haram Deraisa? If it would have been a Rishus Haram Deraisa, the Erev wouldn't help, it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So we assume that it's only a Karmelis, and a Karmelis is permitted to carry Minat Torah, but the Chachamim forbid us to carry in a Karmelis. Minat Torah is only forbidden to write with the right hand, writing with the left hand if you are writing. Writing with the left hand is Kalah Hayat, it's a Shinui. So it's Mutam Minat Torah, but it's only Asim of the Rabbanon. So who gave the Chachamim the authority to institute these Isurim the Rabbanon against carrying in a Karmelis and against writing with the left hand? So this is based on a Pasuk in Chumash that says, Mishmartam es Mishmarti, Asum Mishmaris Mishmarti. The Chachamim were given the authority to introduce Gzeiris, Nisyogim, and Harchokis, Midirabonim. But not only that, the Chachamim were even given the authority to be Oiked of Men HaTorah. They tell you not to blow Shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. Hayitachin! That's against the Dine HaTorah. They're not adding on Chumras. They're being Mekel. The Chacham tell us not to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos. They tell us not to put in tzitzis in certain types of begodim, and linen begodim. The Gemara lists off a whole series of situations where Yesh Kach V'Yach Chachamim Lakadov Menatara. The Gemara has a whole debate, a whole dispute. How far does it go? Is it limited dafke to Shevi Al Tasa? Does it even apply to Kumi Yasei? And then sometimes we say that it's even the Kumi Yasei, sometimes only Shevi Al Tasa. Where did the Gemara get this notion from? That the Chachamim have such an authority to be Oiker Dov Menatara, to tell a Balabatu, to tell a Hamoinam to violate the laws of the Torah? So Chanan says that he thinks that that's the Pshat in the Sifrei. Afila Yamin Shu Smal, Asamol Shul Yamin, the Chachamim were given the authority to be Oiker Dov Menatara. That's Rabbi Chanan's suggestion. The Ramban, the first one who posed the kasha, gives a different answer. They're not contradictory. It could be that the both answers are correct. Ramban gives another answer, which Rav Soloveitchik thought was the correct answer. He thought that was the pashat pshat, what the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and what he writes on Chumash. The Ramban on Chumash, on that pasuk, quotes the Lashon HaSifrei slightly differently from the way Rashi quotes it. And in his Girsa in the Sifrei, I think that's the general, the standard text of the Sifrei, the Kasha doesn't, Hatzal Ganesh, the whole Kasha doesn't get off the ground. The Lashon HaSifrei, the text of the Lashon in the Sifrei is, Afila Nirim B'Yein Echo, Al Yimin Shehu Smal Al Smo Shein Mech. Even if it would appear in your eyes that they're dead wrong. The rabbi gives the Bez Nadol, gives the psak, and this balabas thinks that that's utterly absurd, that's so unfair, or it's so ridiculous, or it's keneged asechel, or it doesn't make any sense. So the Torah says, yamin u'smol, you have to listen to what the rabbanim say, even if you think that it's wrong. You think that it's wrong, you're in the anechel, but what if you know that it's wrong? I have my kitzur shulchan aruch, and it says beferish not so. So it depends who's this rabbi who's giving the psak. If he knows more than the kitzur shulchan aruch, so the kitzur shulchan aruch doesn't prove anything. But if the rabbi knows less than the kitzur, So if I have the Kitzur or the Big Shulchan Aruch or the Gemara, I know the Beferish that it's not so. I'm a bigger rabbi than him, whatever. So if I know the Beferish that the din is not so, so of course you're not permitted to follow the rabbi if he's in error. If you have the Yediyah Vadoyah that he's wrong, so you're not permitted to follow. But if you think that he's wrong, Nirim B'Yenecho, so then the Halacha says, the mean is small, but the Tzach of the Bez Nagodol is bind. This is the notion that the Gemara speaks of in Masechah Shabbos. This was the meaning of Nasa v'Nishma. When Bnei Yisrael said it, Har Sinai, Nasa v'Nishma, so the Gemara stresses, the Gemara places great stress on this, the fact that the Malachim got excited about the fact that Bnei Yisrael said first Nasa and then Nishma. Shouldn't they have said first Nishma and then Nasa? Nishma means we're going to learn the Din and we'll understand what it's all about. And then we promise, we obligate ourselves to fulfill all the mitzvahs. No, Bnei Yisrael first said Nasa and then Nishma. They obligated themselves to fulfill the mitzvahs atari, even if they won't understand what they're all about. We promised, we are obligated to do the mitzvahs even without understanding, even if it doesn't make sense to us. And this is the idea that the Gemara coins the term Kabbalah, so Malchus Shamayim. Why is it called Malchus Shamayim? One accepts the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. Why is it Malchus Shamayim? Because it's not a democracy. The Baruch Shalom doesn't run a democracy over here. It's not that we can elect somebody else. We can elect the Congress and they're going to outvote the Baruch Shalom, will do away with Shabbos and Kashrus and Tarat HaMishpacha. It's a king. The Baruch Shalom is the Melech HaOlam, whether we like it or not. And he issues mitzvahs whether we agree or not, and there's no way to repeal his mitzvahs. That's called malchus. We are obligated to follow the laws of the melech. It's not a democracy. We can't elect a new government and just undo the whole constitution. It says in the Torah, Baltasis and Baltigra, you can't add anything out, you can't take anything off. It's a constitution that doesn't lend itself to any change. So just as the Bnei Yisrael accepted at Har Sinai all the mitzvah sater by saying Nasa v'Nishma, we obligated ourselves to fulfill the mitzvah sater even if we don't understand why they should be so, even if we don't understand the rationale for them. So too, there is a mitzvah to listen to the psakim of the Bez Nahagodl, even if Nirim B'Yenecho, even if we think that they're wrong. The Chasam Sofer, the Shaito, who lived at the beginning of the Reform movement, points out in his Tshuvas that this is the main point of contention, the main point of machlokes between the Orthodox and the Reform. That the Reform believe that the Torah is only binding if we feel that it makes sense. Whatever we feel doesn't make any sense. It's not binding. We don't follow the authority of the Chachamim if it's near B'Einecho, Ayimin Shehu Smol. If we think they're making mistakes, so we just don't follow. And this is what Orthodoxy stands for, that when the Chachamim give a psak, that psak is binding, even if the Balabatim think that it's not fair, or even if they think that it doesn't make any sense, or even if it's extremely uncomfortable. I remember Rav Soloveitchik told the story. So that you go, I think he only met his, I think he only visited Rav Chaim Agriff twice, once when he was 8 years old and once when he was 14 or something. So he said that once when he was 8 years old, he visited Brisk. He lived in a different city, he lived in Chaslamis. So he said that once when he visited, he was sick on a Shabbos, he had a sore throat, so they called in a doctor, and the doctor thought that he may have had a strep throat. So the doctor had to look down his throat to see what he had in order to prescribe the proper medication, to see if he has to prescribe any medication. So Rav Chaim, I think the Rav said Rav Chaim was there, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, his father, and Rav Simcha Zelig, who was then the Dayan of this event. So Rav Chaim asked the doctor, they had a kerosene lamp, so he asked, should he turn the flame up so that he'd be able to see better? So the doctor said, wouldn't hurt. He didn't say it would be a good idea, he said, wouldn't hurt. So Rav Chaim told his son Rav Moshe, he should turn the kerosene lamp higher. On Shabbos, so Rav Moshe started to dingzach. The Rav said he remembered as a child this incident. He said Rav Moshe started to dingzach with his father Rav Chaim. So he said, but the doctor didn't say that it was necessary. Before he turned it high, he said, but the doctor didn't ask for it. He didn't say it's necessary. So he said Rav Chaim got angry and he streamed urine on her. And he said to Rav Chazelik, you make the light higher. And Chazelik was very tough with Rav Chaim. He was a dying, and he just went without batting an eyelash, and he made the light high. So the Rav told this story to demonstrate how one should be tough. It depends who the rabbi is. If it's a Bez Nagodol, Rav Chaim, so if it's an authority, so one should be tough to the psak of the Chachamim, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's al yamin shul smol, even if it's nirim b'yein echor, that it doesn't make any sense. Some people feel, many people today feel, that there's a concept that's called emunas chachamim. So some people feel like this concept, this term was coined by the Agudat in the last century in order to get the Balabatim in Europe to vote for the Agudat party in Poland, in the government. The Agudat was a power in the Polish government. There was one time Dr. Lewin tells the story in his courses at Bernard Zabel Graduate School, the way his father, all of us, once organized a coalition between all of the minority parties in Poland and they overthrew the government. They had control of the government. In the yeshiva, they say that that's why the Polish government fell, when the Agudat was running the government. How could it possibly have a king? But the Agudat was a power. Agudat was a power in Europe. So some people claim that this whole concept of Emunas Chachamim, that you have to follow blindly what the Rabbanim say, was a concept that was invented by the Agudat in order to get the people to vote for their members in the parliament. This is not so. This is the whole Yisrael of the whole Torah Shabbat Peh. This is one, as we mentioned earlier. Even if you chisel down the 13 Yisodis HaEmunah that the Rambam lists off, and you say there are only three, but what are the three? So one of the three is Torah Min HaShemayim. What does it mean, Torah Min HaShemayim? Not a historical statement that Hashem Yisbarach gave a Torah Min HaShemayim. No. He gave a Torah that is still Min HaShemayim, the Torah that we fulfill, HaTorah HaMetzuyah Ata B'Yardeinu, Hi HaNisunah L'Moshe Rabbeinu. We believe that the mitzvahs, the way we observe them today, are pure mitzvahs, the way they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Of course, developed over the ages. There was an awful lot of development. There was Iker, there's much more development than there was the original Dinah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. But we believe that this is an Emes HaTorah. We believe, in this Yisod of Emunas Chachamim, we believe 2 points. Number one, the Chachamim were honest people. There was Shikere, we had Shikere Yidin like there was Shikere Goyim. But we believe that our Chachamim who preserved the Masorah, one generation to the other, were honest people. And they wouldn't lie to us, and they wouldn't misrepresent. And the Gemara tells us that one who says of an honest, there are many fakers in the world. There are criminals in the world. There are fake rabbis also. The rabbis who give trade for hashgachas, and the rabbis who do gittin that are no good, and rabbis who do gayris that are no good. There are all kinds of fakers in the world. The goyim don't have the monopoly, Baruch Hashem. We also have a lot of criminals among our ranks. The Orthodox Jews also have a lot of criminals, not just the non-observant Jews. So of course there are fakers, but we're talking about the people whom we know to be honest people. We assume that when they issue a psak, the psak is based on no negias, they're giving an honest psak based on what they feel the din HaTorah is. The Gemara says that one who makes a statement about a chacham, an honest chacham, that he paskin like that because of his political outlook, or because of his social position, or because of some negias. So the Gemara says that person is chayiv nidui. You have to put that person in chayiv. He's undermining the whole yisod of amunas chacham. This is against kol HaTorah kula. The Gemara tells that there was a dispute whether the laws of Sotah apply. If a man is choshed, his wife is moved, he has to take her to the Beit HaMikdash, and she greets the Maim Hamorim, and so on. Whether these laws apply if the wife is a Giyorah. So there is a dispute among the Tanoim. So Shmai the Avtalim were of the opinion that Mashkim is HaGiyorah, that even if the wife is a Giyorah, the laws of Sotah still apply, even though the Pasuk in Chumash says, Dabro B'nei Yisrael, and one might dash in B'nei Yisrael below Gerim, it doesn't matter. Shmai Avtalim said it doesn't matter. The law applies equally to Gerim. So there was one wise guy who lived in that generation who said that the reason why Shmai Avtalim said that was because they themselves were descendants from Gerim, and they themselves were Gerim. It's a question exactly what the story was. And that's why they favored the Gerim. Of course, they're going to say everything in favor of the Gerim to give the Gerim equal rights to the regular Jews. So the Gemara says that they put that individual in favor, that one is forbidden to make such a statement. Or let's say for years and years, every sukkah is following the Shnas HaShmita. So there's always a question whether you're permitted to buy a etrogim that grew in Eretz Yisrael during the Shmita year. What exactly is the question? Most people don't know. People think that whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael Shmita is treif. It's not treif, it's a mitzvah to eat it. The question is. But there's a question whether you're permitted to use, we won't go into it tonight, some other occasion. There's a question whether you're permitted to use an etrog that grew in Eretz Yisrael during the Shmita year. So every year, for years and years, in the newspapers, they would put out two statements, that the Satmar Rebbe, the one who passed away, said that you're not permitted to use a Sregel from Shemitah. But I have another announcement published by the Mizrahi, the Rabbi Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University, said that you're permitted to use the Sregel that grew in Shemitah. Everybody says, of course, they could have guessed it with their eyes closed. The Satmar Rebbe is anti-Medinas. Of course, he's going to say that you can't use the Sregel that grew in Eretz Yisrael during Shemitah. You have to use a Sregel from some foreign country. Rabbi Soloveitchik is from the Mizrahi, he's from the Presidium of the Mizrahi. Of course, what else is he going to say? Of course he's going to say that you're permitted, and it's a mitzvah to use the Esrogen from Shemitah. So one who says like that is Tzorech Nitui. The Gemara says, well, a person, unless you feel like Rabbi Soloveitchik and the Satmar Rebbe are both fakers. But if we assume that they're honest people, Satmar Rebbe, whatever people say about him, that he was a very honest person. He may not agree with everything that he said, may not agree with a lot of what he said, or a little bit, but he was an extremely honest person. So if you say that an honest person paskin the shaila because of his political views, so the Gemara says such a person who says that is Tzorech Nidui. So we believe, the Gemara says, we believe in the principle of Emunas Chachamim. It wasn't invented by the Aguda at all. It wasn't invented by the Gemara either. It was invented by the Rabban Shlom, as we'll get to in a few minutes. We believe in Emunas Chachamim, which contains within it two parts. Number one, we assume that these people whom we know to be honest were not affected with their social situations or their political situations in issuing a psak. And when they issued a psak, the psak was an emes psak, whatever the way they perceived the halacha to be. And number two, that there were no errors in the transmission of the masorah of the Torah Shabbat Peh. We're really putting the Chachamim up on a very high level if we're assuming that they pasken shailos without negiyot. But this is exactly what the Gemara says. We have to put them on a high level. I never saw this inside, but one of the teachers at Yeshiva University, Rabbi Feldman, once told me that he was reading the Satmar Rebbe's essays. I have no time to read them. He said he read them. The Satmar Rebbe has a very fascinating militia, a very fascinating halotze based on the Gemara. The Gemara has a lashon comparing later generations to earlier generations. So the Gemara says, "Im rishonim kimalochim," if the earlier generations are like angels, "harayanu kivnei adam," and we are like human beings. And if the Rishonim are like Bnei Yodam, if they're like human beings, Harayonu Kechamorim, and we of the later generations are like donkeys, and not Kechamor Shura Pinchas Ben Yoyer, not like the donkey of the Tana, the Pinchas Ben Yoyer, that when he gave him food to eat, the donkey smelled the food and he saw right away that it was tevel, and the donkey refused to eat it. Until it was Mafresh Meiser, and then the donkey would eat it. That was quite a holy donkey. So the Gemara says that if the earlier generations are like Bnei Yodam, that we are like donkeys, plain donkeys, not like the donkey of a Pinchas Ben Yoyer. So Rabbi Feldman said over that he read in one place in the Satmar Rebbe's essays and his drushes that he suggested al derech halotza that the pshat and the Gemara is like this. If we view the Rishonim, if we view the earlier generations like they were angels, in Rishonim, if in our eyes they are angels, then that shows that we are Bnei Adam. That shows that we have a good understanding and we are human beings. We are mentioned. But if we think that the Rishonim, the earlier generations, were Bnei Adam, they're just plain human beings like me and you, then harayonu kechamorim, that we are quite mistaken. That we are like Hamorim, like real stupid donkeys. This was the halotze that the Satmar Rebbe said, al derech halotze in his Gemara. It is so. There are people alive today who remember Gdolim. It's not something that wasn't, it's not bottomized. There are people alive today who remember Rav Chaim Moshe, who remember the Chafetz Chaim, remember other people from Europe who were super geniuses. People will tell you that Rav Chaim Moshe would write with both hands at the same time, a tshuva and a smicha, with the right hand, with the left hand, would talk on the telephone. A woman had a shayla, a woman brought a chicken, another Talmud was talking and learning, everything at the same time. Unusual thing. I haven't met anybody in our generation, among the Talmid HaChacham, the Rabbanim, who could concentrate on so many different things at the same time. It certainly is so, the Chafetz Chaim. Everybody knows about the Kedusha of the Chafetz Chaim. These are not bottomizers. There are people alive today who remember the Chafetz Chaim. So it certainly is true. When the Gemara speaks about the Rishonim Kemalach, Maharyanu Kibnei Odom, and so on, they're not talking about the Rishonim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rishonim of the Tanoim. They're talking about the Yeridus HaDeiros. In every generation, we know that there's a Yeridus HaDeiros. It's not a Yisoid in Amunah. It's not a Yisoid that we believe in it. We know that it's so. You speak to people who remember the Tzaddikim from Europe, and they're really, it's not that they're reminiscing with nostalgia about the Gedolim from Europe. It's not nostalgia. They're just describing that with different people. You talk to the people who knew Rabbi Chana Basman in America. Rabbi Chana came to America to raise money for the yeshiva, then he went back. The people who remember Rabbi Chana Basman, Rabbi Soloveitchik's sister told me the story. She remembers when Rabbi Chana came to America, she said her father, Moshe Soloveitchik, had a newspaper, Yiddish newspaper on the table. Rabbi Chana was against newspapers. That was one of his things. He didn't help him reading newspapers. When he was young, he did, but in his later life, he used to read the newspaper in the basement. They almost threw him out of the television yeshiva because he read the newspaper every day in the basement. But then later, he didn't believe in reading newspapers. So Rabbi Soloveitchik's sister, Mrs. Meiselman, told her she remembers that when the paper, the Yiddish paper, was on her father's desk. Rabbi Chana was visiting by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, so he was so annoyed that there was a newspaper there, but what could he do? He's going to go and insult Rav Moshe. So the telephone rang or something happened in the other room, and Moshe had to go answer the phone. So she saw as a little girl that Rabbi Chana picked up his kapata, his long jacket, and he pushed the newspaper off on the floor. He didn't want to touch it. He didn't want to touch the newspaper. And then Rav Moshe came back from the other room, and he saw the paper on the floor. He didn't know what happened, so he picked it up and he put it back on the table, and then they were talking again. And then something else came up, and Rav Moshe walked out of the room again. And then Rav Mochana did again the same thing, took his kapatah, and he pushed the paper off. So then Rav Moshe came in, was wondering again the newspapers on the floor. So he realized Rav Mochana must have pushed it off, so he took it and he put it in the other room, not to hurt his feelings. You don't find people like that today. Rav Mochana wasn't a crazy man. He was a very normal person. You don't have to agree with everything that Rav Mochana said about politics and about history. They may have made a lot of mistakes. That's a different question, but he was quite a holy person. They were holy people in the previous generations, not from 5,000 years ago. We're talking about 40 years ago, 50 years ago, that people remember. 60, 70 people are alive today who remember these people. And the Gemara tells us, Mishonim kim alach nahariyana kibnei adam. Mishonim kibnei adam hariyana kahamor. Rav Soloveitchik is fond of quoting the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, but the Rambam says that one who doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh min Hashamayim or Hamakhish Magideho, even if he believes in Torah Shebal Peh, but he's Makhish Magideho, he says, that's Rav Chaim Oizer, the Chavtzan. He didn't know how to learn. I know how to learn better than him. The Rambam says such a person is an apikoyri, because included in the Amunah, the Torah min Hashamayim is that the Torah Hamatsuya Ata Biyodeinu, He Hanasuna Lemoshe Rabbeinu. The Torah that we have today, the mitzvahs as we observe them today, are correct, bona fide mitzvahs as they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu according to the development through the generations. We have an Amunas Chachamim that the Chachamim paskin properly, that they didn't make any mistakes, that they had no negiyas in paskining, that they were above negiyas in paskining, and that there were no errors that crept into the transmission of the Torah. The question is, how can a person assume that there were no mistakes made in the Masor? That's a pretty difficult thing. Is that the superhuman? How can it be? Rashi and Chumash quotes the Mechilta to explain this. At the end of Parshas Yisro, the Chumash speaks of the Mizbeach and the Beis Hamikdash. At the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, the Chumash speaks about the Bez and Paschim and Bidim Amir, Dinei. So Rashi quotes in the Mechilta, why is the Mizbeach, the Parsha of Mizbeach, written next to the Parsha of the Sanhedrin? To teach you that you have to have the Sanhedrin sum of the Mizbeach. That the Sanhedrin, the Bez and Hagadol has to meet, their office has to be in the Beis Hamikdash and the Lishkas Hagadol. What was the purpose of having the Bez Nagodol meet in the Lishkas Hagozes? So the Ramban HaChumash explains in Parsha Shoftim, and this is elaborated on at length by the Netziv in his very, very fascinating essay in the introduction to the to his commentary on the Shiltas. He calls it the Kidmas HaEmek. His commentary is called the Haimek Sholo. He calls his introduction the Kidmas HaEmek. Very fascinating. Netziv is always very fascinating. This introduction is very interesting about the development of Torah Shema Peh. So the Ramban explains that the purpose of having the Sanhedrin sum of Mizbeach was that there should be a Hashras HaShchina in the Beis HaMikdash to assist, to help out the Bez Nagodol, that he shouldn't make any mistake in paskening the dinim. And when the Chumash tells us that we have to listen to the Chachamim Afila Yimin Shu Smal Asmal Shu Yimin, it's not that authority is binding even when it's an error. No, it's that we should assume that they're not making a mistake. We assume that they must have had a Siyata Dishmaya, must have had the divine assistance of the Hashras HaShchina, that they shouldn't make any mistakes. The Gemara says in Erevin, the famous statement, if a person says, Yagaiti, V'lai Matzasi, I worked very hard, and I didn't understand the Gemara, I'll promise. It's not true. If a person says, Lo Yagaiti, Matzasi, I didn't work hard at all, I understand the Gemara without even working hard, I'll promise. The fellow is a liar. If a person says, Yagaiti, Matzasi, I worked hard, he studied diligently, and he understands the Gemara, he understands the Torah, then Tama, then you should believe me. Then the Gemara adds on, but that's only with respect to understanding the text of the Gemara. What does it say? Did he get all the facts straight? Does he understand the Shitas? So then, Talmud, that depends on Yigiyah. If he works hard, he'll understand. But Lasuki Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa. But to have the ability to pass in Lamita Shal Torah, that the Gemara says you cannot figure out. You can have Yigiyah from today till next year. If you don't have the Siyaita de Shmaya, you won't be able to be Masik Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa. The person has to have a divine assistance in paskening. The Gemara comments on the Pasik. We have in the Siddur, the Pasik in the Yitl, Vayidavi the Chodorachal Maskil. Hashem Imoy. So what does it mean? Hashem Imoy. Hashem was with him. So the Gemara in that Sugya in Erevin says, Shalacha Kemoisa B'chom Rakim. Hashem Imoy means that he had a Siyata Dishmaya, that the Rebbe Shalom was with him, that he passed him properly. If the person is the greatest super genius in the world, but he doesn't have this Siyata Dishmaya, he will not fully understand the Amita Shal Torah, the Yomika Torah, and he will not be able necessarily to pass him Amita. If it's an easy Shaila, he will. But if it's a complicated Shaila, he will not necessarily have that ability. The Gemara assumes that this is so not only with respect to the Bez Nahagodol, that they have a Siyata Dishmaya. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Elokim Mitzvah Ba'adas Kel, that the Rebbe Shalom gives his Siyata Dishmaya, gives his Hashras HaShchina to every Bezin, who passed him. In fact, the Gemara has a din, and it's quoted lahalocha in the Shulchan Aruch, when Dayanim have a din Torah, they should sit by people. The Dayanim have to have their hats on, but if they're wearing a talis, they have to put the talis over their head, out of covered Ashchina. We assume that the Shechina is present, and the king needs all, Ba'adas Ker. Rashi HaChumash quotes this in Chumash Bereshis, in the beginning of Parashas Vayera. Vayera, I love that the Rebbeinu Shlom appears to Avraham Avinu, who Yashay Pesach Ha'ol, Kachol Mayom. The Rashi quotes in the Medrash that this is a simon lebanecha, that when a bezin sits, when they're sitting in judgment for passing, the Rebbeinu Shlom will be standing and assisting them and helping them to pass. The Rebbeinu Shlom will give them a siyai to the Shmaya. And the Gemara says that this is not only so when a bezin passes, when any chacham passes a shalat. The Gemara says, Dod Hashem the Yireyot, another pasuk in Tehillim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps those Yirei Shamayim, those who deserve to have the siyai to the Shmaya. Not every person will have the siyai to the Shmaya. Those who deserve to have the siyai to the Shmaya will have it, and there will be mechaven lamita shalter. And the Gemara has an interesting story in the beginning of Masechet Chagiga, the way Rav Lezer HaGadol was disagreeing with the other Chachamim. And on one occasion, they kicked him out of the Beis Medrash. They didn't want to listen to him anymore. And then one occasion, they were discussing what the din of Amun and Moyav during Shnas HaShmita, what are they mapish? So after debating for hours and hours and hours and days, whatever, they came to the conclusion, Amun and Moyav, Maisa Maisa Rani B'Shviv. The Bez Nadol came to a conclusion. So Rav Lezer got angry and he says, Kindalach, Yingalach, Atachusha B'Ninyanechem, you guys don't know anything. What did you discover, America? There's an altar tzak. You people don't know the Masorah. This is a Masorah for hundreds and hundreds of years ago that is the din. And the Rebbeinu Shlom gave you a siyai to the Shmaya without you even realizing it. Vod Hashem v'yireyach, he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim. The Rebbeinu Shlom guides the bezin who is in charge of paskening the shalom, that they should pasken l'amitoy, even though they're walking in the dark. They didn't know that there was a Masorah. This shalom was already, the tzak was already instituted hundreds of years before. The Gemara says that that's what that pasuk implies. Vod Hashem v'yireyach, the Rebbeinu Shlom sees to it that he gives a siyai to the Shmaya to the Chachamim, whose authority will be listened to, whose psalm will be listened to, that they shouldn't err when they pass in their shalos. There's a famous story, the Rav Zevin quotes, and others tell over Baal Peh, the way Rav Chaim Soloveitchik once had a shaila, and he sent a shaila to Rav Yitzchak Chon, who was then a great pasuk in Europe. And he asked Rav Yitzchak Chon just to respond by sending a telegraph, Osir Amutar. You shouldn't give any reasons for it, because if Rav Yitzchak Chon will give reason, Rav Chaim tells him he'll start to dingle, he won't want to accept the psalm. Rabbi Kohanan has a different style of learning, obviously. Those who are familiar with Rabbi Kohanan's tshuvas has a completely different style of presentation, learning, very ballistic, it's ungedreit, it's very different from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's style. So what is Rav Chaim following his psak? If he has an ungedreit to derech, and Rav Chaim knows that he can dingzach with him, so what does he say? Send me a telegram, Masam Mutter, and don't give me the reasons, or I'll slug it up. What kind of story is that? So many people quote this story to say, that's what it means, that the authority is binding, even when it's an error. I don't know whether you're right or you're wrong, but just give me the psak, and whatever the psak is, that's my problem. No, that's not what it means. That's sheker v'chazon. That's not true. If I think the psak is wrong, it's wrong. I'm not allowed to follow it. A Chaim held that Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was the place of Kador. That was a fact. Everybody used to ask Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan all the shailas. Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan died, then they asked Rabbi Chaim Eiser the shailas. Until he died. So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan was the place of Kador. Everybody followed him. So Rabbi Chaim knew that he would have a siyai to the Shema. If they passed him properly, that's all. So he said, just tell me what the psak is. Whatever the psak, whatever you arrive at, whether your cheshbon is right or wrong, I'm sure the Rebbeinu Shlom will be helping you to pass him properly. That's what it means, Amunas Chacham. There was an interesting incident last year.
Those kinds of things.
psak, and they gave very brief reasons. So some rabbi said, what kind of a psak is that? You just write a short tshuva, something is usur, and you give reasons in 5-10 lines. You have to write a long tshuva. But this is not correct. Rav Chaim Brisker asked the Bitzvachana to give a psak, and that's a psak. What's wrong? If you're interested in following the psak. If you're not interested in following, so you can write the longest tshuva in the world, you don't have to follow. But we're talking about if Rav Chaim Brisker is kof of Terab Yitzchokhan, he wants to follow his psak, so he says, give me a psak, what's the din asur amut? You don't have to give any reason. You want to give the kitzah, but there's no halacha that says the psak has to include the reason. Not at all. You want to give the reason, that's a shtikl terah, that's a pilpul. There's no such thing that a psak has to contain reasons. It's a complete error. But of course, not everyone will be zeicher to this yaita d'shmaya. First of all, the person will only be zeicher to yaita d'shmaya if he's qualified, if he knows how to learn. It's the same as Yiddish melitza that people say over. The Gemara has a statement in Yevamah called Yiftach bedoro tishmul bedoro. That in every generation you have to listen to the chachamim of that dor, of that generation. So the Gemara says, and even if you live in a generation when Yiftach is the Moira Haruan, Yiftach is not as great a Talmud Chacham as Shmuel Hanavi, nevertheless, whatever Yiftach says, that's the Psa. But the Dalt says, Yiftach is Bor, the Pasuk says in Pashas Mishpatim, is Yiftach Habur? Yiftach also knows how to learn. If Yiftach is an Am HaAretz, that you don't say Yiftach Bedoro Kishmuel Bedoro. Yiftach has to be a Talmud Chacham also. Aye, he's not as great as Shmuel Hanavi, but he's a Shefa Tashiyah Bayamim Haim. So the first klal, of course, is that we cannot expect a person to have a siyata d'shmaya. If he's not qualified in learning, he has to know how to learn. Secondly, the Pasuk says, Sor Hashem l'yireyos, that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives this siyata d'shmaya to the people who have yiras shamayim. If a person doesn't have yiras shamayim, so the Ribbono Shel Olam won't give him the Sor Hashem. That's obvious. Thirdly, he has to be known as an honest person. If we know that he's not an honest person, there's nothing to discuss. Why should we assume that he's going to be honest? When he passes the shaila, he's not honest in other areas. He's not honest even not in passing the shaila. And fourthly, there are many conditions. Fourthly, the person has to be a humble person. One of the main conditions that the Gemara has for Hashuas Hashchina is the person has to be an honor. In Hashchina Shura Ela Al Ha'anot. The person has to be an honor, like Moshe Rabbeinu. The more anivas the person has, so the more he will be able to have a Hashuas Hashchina, the more he will be zeicha to have this Yaita Rishmai to be able to pass him properly. The Gemara has an interesting statement that the many machlokes, the many debates that existed between Bisham and Bisilo, for almost all of the cases, with very few exceptions to the rule, the Gemara has only 26 cases where we pass from like Bisham, and all the other cases we pass from like Bisilo. 24 cases, something like that. 24 cases we pass from like Bisham, and everything else we pass from like Bisilo. So the Gemara says, why? Why were Bisilo Zeicha that we pass from like them? So the Gemara makes a statement that Beisilo were on the sun in hay. They were more humble. Doesn't mean that Beishamai were arrogant, but Beisilo were more humble than Beishamai. The Lo Yoyi, the Gemara says, not only were they more humble, Elisham Magdimim Divi Beishamai LiDivrayim. Whenever they were talking learning, so they'd always quote first, they would give cover to the other ones. They would first say, what, Beishamai's opinion is like this. Then they say, and we humbly, respectfully disagree, and we feel that it's not so. So because they were humble, that's why we pass like that. What kind of a story is that? You pass like a humble person. What does it have to do with who's passing? So the pashtus in the Gemara, with that drush, the pashtus is that the one who is more humble than the other stands a greater chance, it's not 100% vadoa, stands a greater chance of having this siyata d'shmaya in the chavel amita shel Torah properly. So that's what we assume, that probably the Beis Shammai, who were more humble than the Beis Hillel, were probably more zeicha to the siyata d'shmaya. The Ramban has a statement in his introduction to the Mohammed, in the back of the Gemara Brochus, where he writes that learning Talmud is not like mathematics, not like Tishboris. You cannot give a rigorous proof, that 10-line proof, and that's it. This is the Pshat that's correct. There are Svaras Dakos in learning Gemara and in Paskening Shailas, and you cannot always prove everything. A person has to have a certain refinement of Midas to be able to accept, to be able to understand a Svaras Dakos. There's an interesting lotion that the Chazon Ish has. Chazon Ish has a very interesting essay that's called Emunah Bitochon, printed separately. I'd like to read just one section. That is attack against the Muslim movement here. It's a very fascinating essay here. In Perek Aleph, it's broken down to Prokin in a second. Perek Aleph, section Yud Beis. He writes like this: Kav Dak, there is a very thin line that divides between Nistareya ben HaChochma v'HaSichlus, between foolishness and wisdom. And this fine line, this fine line of division, of separation, will not allow the person to enter into the area of Chochmah. Hachein ho'adinus, the sensitivity, v'alizos ha'neshomer, refinement of midus, mocheches es kav hachotzitz kolov, will wipe off this kav, wipe off this line, and will enable the person, u'mesilas ha'chochmah l'fon of l'misho, this will enable the person, the tikkun ha'midus will enable the person to enter into the Chochmah. Avol, however, ha'odem ha'nimshol ha'ayor pera, a wild person, asher osur b'ziki ha'taiva kiyom hivoldo, still involved in taivis, like when he was a little baby. Rodef ha'mtakim is always running after sweets, pleasantness, convenience, roi tanugim, ragzan tmidi, he's always angry, molegaivo, arrogant. Even if he's super intelligent, gamim choynet b'kishron ha'chochma, b'tchunas nishmasa, even if the person is highly intelligent and very bright, and he has twice as much intelligence as anybody else, to understand Torah, it's not like the Ramban writes, it's not like mathematics that you just write it down on the blackboard and that's it. Rigorous proof. There are no rigorous proofs. You have to have a sensitivity to understand whether his Torah is amitis or not. And that sensitivity can only be developed if the person has a sensitive heart and a sensitive mind. The person has to be a Balmidas to have that sensitivity. The question is, however, if this is so, that the Torah tells us we should listen to the Pesach of the Bezna Gorla, the Pesach of any Bezna, the Pesach of the Moira Haro, because we should assume that the Chacham is paskening honestly, and he's having a siyata d'shmai in his psak. So how do we understand the machlokes? What if you have Rabbi Soloveitchik and the Satmar Rebbe, two honest people and two learned people? So how do you understand that Rabbi Shem helped the Satmar Rebbe to say like that, and he helped Rabbi Soloveitchik to say like that? Is somebody a faker? Someone's a liar? Somebody made a mistake? That means that Rabbi Shem isn't helping everybody. Half of the time he's helping, half of the time he's not helping. So how do you know whether you're following the person whom he's helping? But the Gemara says yes. The Gemara says that Eilu v'Eilu Dibe l'Kimcha. The Gemara says that in all the machlokes that we have in the, not all, and many of the machlokes that we have in the Talmud, we assume that the Ribbono Shel Olam was giving a siyata d'shmaya to both tzedodim. What exactly does that mean? I mean that he's right and he's right. How can it be that they're both right? So you're also right. How can it be that they're both right? So the many of the mefarshim, the Sefer HaChinuch has a different interpretation in that Gemara. But the more popular pshat in that Gemara, in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, is not the explanation given by the Sefer HaChinuch and Parsha Shoftim and the Parsha of Gautam Amri, but rather the pshat which the Ritvo and Ervin gives, the Mahasho, and it's more popular today from the Sifrei Maharal Miprag, which became more popular today. They write the following: and Rabbeinu Shlom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hasinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given all the dinim. He said, this is us and this is Mutter and so on and so forth. Then Moshe Rabbeinu asked Rabbeinu Shlom, what about this case? A little bit off of that, a little bit off of that. What's the din in this case? So the Rabbeinu Shlom didn't give him a clear psak in all these cases. He said there are elements of Isser and elements of Heter. There are elements of Chiyav and elements of Tur. And he leaves it up to the understanding of the Chachmei Ador, Shebechol Dov Ador, to pass in according to their understanding of Torah. In every generation, people have different perceptions. Not in every generation. In the same generation, 100 people have a different perception. No two people have the same perception. If I'm looking at the Bima like this, so my perception is one way. The Bima doesn't change, and the Omer doesn't change, and the Pushka doesn't change. And the money in the bottle doesn't change, the sperm don't change, but the perception is different. And if I stand over you, there's a different perception. And every time a chacham has a different perception. You're looking at the same Torah, everybody's looking at all the same things, the pushka with the money, with the shtender, with the bina, everything, but there's a different perception. They have Rav Chaim Brisk and his son, Rav Dovah Soloveitchik, who was so kafuf to the father, not the same perception. You look in the sperm, it's completely different. Not the same perception. So if they were so together, and they were so different, so no two people have the same perception. That's because, Rabbi Soloveitchik has so many students. You think that any of the students have the same perception as Rabbi Soloveitchik? Of course not. Not only because he knows how to learn better than his students. Their perception is different. A person looks in a different, from a different position. He has a different perception. So the Ribbono Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai, this is also, this is Mutar. The other things are the gray area. As elements of Isra, elements of Het, elements of Chiyav, elements of Tur. I leave it up to the Chachma Ador, Shebechol Dor Ador Ish Chacham, the paskin according to his understanding, according to his perception of what the halacha should be. And that's what it means. Eilu v'eilu, divrei Elokim chai. Each one is correct. The shayla is, if each one is correct, so how is a person supposed to act? So you do whatever you want. Whatever you want, you can't go wrong. Everything is okay. No. The Torah tells us how you have to act. You don't say you do whatever you want and it's okay. Rav Soloveitchik explains in the Shurim, what does it mean? Eilu v'eilu divrei l'kiyum chayim. It means even though we know in advance that the halacha is not like Beis Shammai, then one would think that if he studied Beis Shammai's opinion, it should constitute bittul Torah. So you're not allowed to spend hours and hours, be spending yeshivas hours and hours trying to figure out sugyas and yevamos and other mitzvahs about Beis Shammai's opinion. What are we wasting our time for? It's bittul Torah. Let's have a sefer. And I know that everything it says in the sefer is wrong. The one who wrote the sefer didn't know how to learn. He misquoted. He was an old man. Everything is wrong. So if you read the joke book, it's a bittul Torah. He's quoting things, but it's all wrong. So if it's wrong, it's wrong. It's bittul Torah. So how do we waste time studying the opinions of the Tanaim and the Amram who are not accepted by Allah? So the Gemara says, no. Just because you don't accept the Allah doesn't mean that it's not a chepsa shal Torah. If you study their opinions, that's a kiyum of Talmud Torah. That's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But as far as the Chavis HaGavra is concerned, we don't say, as far as what the person is obligated to do, l'maisa, aloch l'maisa, you don't say, el v'el ediv l'kim chayim. There's one clear-cut psak. You have to go either this way or that way. You have to know what is the psak. Dr. Belkin's Zohan of Rocha, years ago in yeshiva, he was always furious about it. Our gansa yeshiva, everybody's sitting and learning, and nobody knows that a favor should did in the Mishnah Brura. He would always explode about something that we did say tachal, we didn't say tachal, Zohan Hashat, whatever we would do. Our gansa yeshiva, they don't know. And the elu v'elu divi l'kim chayim from today till next year, but you gotta know what the psak is. You can't live with elu v'elu. Elu v'elu is good for learning, but not for psak. Halacha ma'aseh, you have to know psak. What is the din? You don't say elu v'elu and psak. So how does Taka 1 determine what the psak is? So the Chumash tells us. Ki yipalim chadov ala mishpat. The Chumash says in Parashas Shoftim. So you have a shaila what the din is. It's not clear cut. Whether ben dam ledam, ben din ledin, ben nega lenega. Whether the shaila is in each of the heads. Whether the shaila is in tumah v'tahara. Whether the shaila is in dini mamonis, those are the three chelki hatorah. The Vilna Gaon explains in Haderus Aliyah, Kan kila hatorah, kol hatorah kula. These are the three areas of halacha, mamayin, yisur, and tumah. So the Torah says, the kamta of the alisa olamokam, you have to ask the bezna hagadol. What authority does the bezna hagadol have? Why do we have to listen to the bezna hagadol? So the Rishonim explain, say Bachinuch and the Rambam and the Ramban and from the Kadesh and another Rishonim in between them, they explain, when the Torah requires of us to listen to the psak of the bezna hagadol, it is lab davke bezna hagadol. It means the Gedolei Hador should be called over there. The Gedolei Hador doesn't mean the Vad Matzah is Gedolei Hador of the Aguda. It means whoever the Gedolei Hador are. It's interesting, Rabbi Chana Wasserman, when the Aguda was formed originally, when they were organized, when they were founded, they originally had a Vad Matzah Gedolei Hador. So he insisted that when they constitute their Vad of the Gedolei, they shouldn't limit the Gedolei to members of the Aguda. He says he can visualize, he happened to be a member of the Aguda, but he said he can visualize many Gedolei who will not want to be members of the Aguda for some reason or another. Unfortunately, now they're not listening to Rabbi Chana Wasserman. So they have the Aguda has a Vad Matzah Gedolei Hador, which may or may not necessarily constitute the Gedolei Hador. We're not talking about political who is politically labeled as the Gedolei Hador. We're talking about who are the Gedolei Hador. We'll give them an exam. We'll find out. And it's not so hard to give the exam. People print svarim and they print mamorim, and we know who knows how to learn, who doesn't know how to learn. Yes, yes, brachim and yeshivas. They can tell you which rabbi knows how to learn better than which other rabbi. It's not such a deep secret. So when the Torah says we should ask the Bezna Hagadol what the din is, it doesn't mean necessarily the Bezna Hagadol. It means we have to ask the Gedolei Hador Shebechol Da'avadah. There is a special din that's limited dafke to the Bezna Hagadol. The din that the Torah has at the Zokin Mami, the one who paskins against the psak of the Bezna Hagadol, is Chayiv Nisa. So that the Gemara derives from Sukkim, that onish, that punishment is only given to the one who paskins against the Bezna Hagadol when the psak is issued, Mokum Goyim, when the psak is issued from the Lishka Fagadi. But the din, the Kamta V'Alisa, the mitzvah to ask a shayla, and the mitzvah to listen to the psak, the mitzvah says and the mitzvah lo says to follow the psak, is not limited dafke to the Bezna Hagadol. It applies to the Gedolei Hador Shebechol Da'avadah. Why? What do I have to do with the Gedolei Hador? I have nothing to do with them. I never learned by them. The Tosis points out in Bava Kama, Rav Mamala from the base, the Tosis is quoted Lahalochim Yeridei, the din. Tosis comments on the Pasik that Rabbi Akiva darshan Es Hashem Elokecha Tiro. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva used to darshan every word Es. Every time it says Es in the Chumash, it implies a ribul. Something more, something hidden is meant to be added on to the Peshuta Shamika. Otherwise it could have been written without the word Es. Modern Hebrew we write sentences without Es. So if the Chumash writes Es all over, the Es is thrown in all over, it must be coming to be Marbe something. So the Kiva used to darshan every single S. And on this part, it's S, Hashem Elokecha Tira, he darshan S, the Rabbis Talmid HaChachamim. That they have to have Moira Rabbah, Kimora Shemaim. You have to have Moira from Talmid HaChachamim, not just Kovit Talmid HaChachamim, there's another din of Moira. So Taisa says, when does this din apply? Taisa is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, says it only applies to Rabbi Muvok, not the Stam Rabbi. To Rabbi Muvok, to his outstanding Rebbe, the Rebbe from whom one learned word Chachmata Hemenu, or to the Gedolei Hador Shebechol Gavadol, even though I never learned by them, they have the status of Rabbi Muvok. So this seems to be the simple pshat in the Chumash. The Torah says whenever one is faced with a shayla in halacha, he's not sure exactly what the din should be. So the Torah requires Vikamto Vialiso, we should ask the Bezna Hagodol, which simply means we should ask the Gdoli Hador in that generation, and whatever they say is binding. Why? Do you say that is that the Gdoli Hador are considered my Rabbein, even though I never learned by them? And the Halacha says every person has to follow his Rebbe. Whoever your Rebbe is, you have to follow him. So true, Eilu V'Eilu Diver Lekim Chaim, the Rabbani Shel Olam gives the Koyach HaPsak to every Chacham, every qualified Chacham, who's looking at the same thing that everybody else is looking at. If the fellow doesn't know so much of Torah, then he only sees part of the picture, he doesn't see you all. But if he knows how to learn as well as the others, and everybody's looking at the same picture, one from this viewpoint, one from that viewpoint, and everyone has clearly a different perspective, and therefore everyone will come up with a different Psak, that's 100% legitimate. That's what it means, Eilu V'Eilu Diver Lekim Chaim. And each Talmud should follow the Psak of his Rebbe, and Tavala Brocha Gesundheit, and even if his Rebbe is in the minority, the 100,000 Rabbanim say one way and one Rabbi says the other way. If he's a qualified Rabbi, a Gira Shamayim, and an honest person, and he knows how to pass and he knows what he's talking about, so the Talmidim have a right to follow him. The Gemara says, also Beishamai Ki Divrayim. Beishamai were in the minority, and they followed the Psakim of their Rabbe, of Beishamai. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yisrael Glivi was of the opinion that it's not proper to make a Gzeira the Rabbanon against cooking chicken and milk. We assume that this is not a biblical prohibition, it's only forbidden with the Rabbanon to cook chicken and milk. But it's awesome with the Rabbanon. We don't cook chicken and milk, we don't eat chicken and milk. We wait 6 hours or whatever. 3 hours, 1 hour, whatever you wait, people wait between chicken and milk. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yisrael Glili was against it, he thought that it was improper to institute such a Gzeira the Rabbanon. And even though he was completely outvoted, all the other Tanaim overwhelmingly outvoted his opinion, in his city they cooked chicken and milk, and they all lived to a ripe old age, the Gemara says, they were not punished. The Gemara says, in effect, there was once a Gzeira, and in his city there were needful for an Gzeira. And the Gemara says, in the first draft, Rav Lezer ben Milo, Rav Lezer's opinion against all the Tanaim, Rav Lezer ben Hurkanis was of the opinion, when you have a bris on Shabbos, when the Milo is bisman on Shabbos, not only are you permitted to do the act of Milo on Shabbos, even the Machshirin, you're permitted to carry the knife to the bris if necessary, you're permitted to chop down a tree in order to burn logs, in order to melt the metal, in order to make a knife, in order to make the bris Milo. The Gemara says, the Mekamash of Rav Lezer in his city, that was their practice years and years after Rav Lezer died. Just like in the city of Rav Yisrael Glili, years and years after Rav Yisrael Glili died, they still followed his shittas. He was considered the Moradas for even years after he died. Like the Beis Yosef writes in the 1500s that the Rambam is the Moradas of Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam died already. What do you mean the Moradas? If in that community a Chacham had a great Hashpah, they have a right to consider him their Rebbe, even though they never learned by him, they never saw him. If they feel some closeness to him, lots of hunger checkers, some nutty guy says, I want to be a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, while I follow everything the Vilna Gaon did. He has no shaykhs with the Vilna Gaon. What affinity does he have? Unless a person is so overwhelmed by the Sifurim, by the Sforim, by the Chiburim of the Vilna Gaon, and he says he wants to follow the Vilna Gaon, that's his man, that's his Rebbe. A person is inspired by the Marshal, he says, Gevaldik, the Marshal is a super genius, I want to follow everything the Marshal says. So fine, the Chazon Ish writes, you can pick a Rebbe who's not alive, you can follow him as your Rebbe, Bein Lahakha, Bein Lahakma, everything that he says, not Stam. Have a Ksav Yad from somebody who lived in the 1200s, who only says one thing about one thing, that it's mutter to do this and that thing, so I'm going to be his Talmud. What else did he say? What do you mean I'm going to be his Talmud? I don't know what else did the person say? But if you know a Vilna Gaon was a man who studied all day and all night, and who didn't believe in studying philosophy, and didn't believe in studying, spending time on another Chochmas, and he studied his mathematics in the bathroom. So a person who likes that hashkofa, I don't know how many people go for that. A person who likes that hashkofa to study all day and all night and only to stay up with keeping your feet in cold water in order to stay up and only to sleep 2 hours a day. A person who admires, I'm not saying that he's going to do that. A person who admires that, if he admires the Vilna Gaon, he's enamored of the Vilna Gaon, he's given to, hey, to consider yourself a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, follow everything the Vilna Gaon does. Bein lahakol, bein lahakol. We know a lot what the Vilna Gaon said. The Vilna Gaon wrote down a lot. So follow everything that the Vilna Gaon said. But stamp the chep is a hunter, one chacham I'm going to follow. Well, he said, that's my Rebbe. But you don't know anything else that he said, or even if you know everything that he said, what shaykhs do you have with that person? Why do you feel a closeness with that person? But if you do feel a closeness, so fine. Every person should follow his Rebbe. Means his Rebbe, means his qualified Rebbe. I had an Aleph Beis Rebbe. So then am I going to follow my Rebbe? My Aleph Beis Rebbe, that's intellectually dishonest. Unless my Aleph Beis Rebbe was a great Goyim. Shagatai used to teach little children also. The Prima Gorim was a Malamed. He used to teach Chumash to children. So many times the Aleph Beis Rebbe are great Goyim, but if the Aleph Beis Rebbe is not a great Goyim, let's say a person says, I'm going to follow my local Orthodox Rabbi. So it depends. If his local Orthodox Rabbi is a Bar Hochi, it's fine. 100% wonderful. Follow your local Orthodox Rabbi, no problems. But if his local Orthodox Rabbi is not, then he's just being intellectually dishonest when he says he's going to follow his Rabbi. The Torah says, you have to pick out your Talmud Chacham, the one to whom you feel a closeness, one you feel a shaykhus with, You follow everything that that Rebbe says, and then it's fine. The Gemara says the one who shops around for kulas, or the one who shops around for chumras, is not fulfilling this mitzvah, following his Rebbe. The Gemara says there were some people who used to follow kikulei beishamai, or kikulei beisila. They followed all the kulas of beishamai beisila. So the Gemara calls that person a rasha. Let's say when you have Hilchas Avelis, you're going to ask Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, because you know he likes to be maker. When you have Chavez Hilchas Shabbos, you ask Rabbi Soloveitchik, you know that he likes to be maker. You ask about an Erev, you ask Rabbi Gedalia Feldefes, you ask Hilchas Nida, you ask Rabbi Gifter. You always know in advance who's going to say the Kula, and then you always follow the Kula. So what it means is that you're not following anybody, you're following yourself. What do you mean yourself? You have no Shita. You're not asking the Shabbos, you're being dishonest. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah by calling up Rabbi Pliny and asking him if you know in advance what he's going to say. You're not asking any Shabbos then. But the Gemara calls such a person a Rasha. Why? He said he never asks any Shailas. Not that he's asking all the rabbis, he's not asking anybody. But let's say some other people have a different and opposite type of mentality. They like to look for chumas. In our generation, we have a lot of people who like to look for chumas. So the Gemara says that the one who likes to follow chumay beishamay and chumay beisil, saksil b'chay shecholach, he's also a foolish person. You know, that's stupid. You don't have to follow the other person's opinion. You follow your rabbi's psok and bein lahaka bein lahacha. Unless you're really afraid, unless you can't determine whom to follow, you can't determine whom your Rebbe is. So then the Gemara says you have to go Luchumra in both directions, but if you're not so nervous and you follow, this is your Rebbe. Farting, what's the problem? Most people don't have one Rebbe. Most people have a group of Rabbeim, like in our generation. Many of us learned by Rav Soloveitchik. Can we say we don't follow Rav Moshe Feinstein? It came out everybody in America follows Rav Moshe Feinstein. His shuvas, his igros Moshe, have had a hashpura. And almost everybody, the person whom it hasn't had a hashpura, has gizuntahe, so don't follow Rav Moshe. But most of the people have had a hashpura from Rav Moshe. We've had a hashpura from the Chasam Sofer, who hasn't been alive for a long time. We had a hashpura from the Chavetz Chaim, whom none of us, whom I don't know, some of us have known, but I didn't know the Chavetz Chaim personally. We've had a hashpura from the Chayei Yodam, for the Nodi Behuda, for many Gdolim, so we consider all of these people are Rabbein. So the Gemara says, and what do you do when faced with a dilemma? I have 150 Rabbein. There's some, it's Perach Mati Aharon. I have no shash. I don't know who it is. He never had any hashpura on me. It's Mati Menachem. I never heard of him. I don't know who he is. We're talking about the people that we know. The Chasam Sofer had hashpah on us, even those who didn't live in Hungary. The Nodi Behuda had hashpah on everybody, even those who didn't live in Czechoslovakia. These are people, great people. The Vilna Gaon had hashpah on everybody, even non-Litva. Talking about people who had hashpah. See, these are our Rabbeim. So what do you do when there's a machloikis? These people say like that. So the Gemara says, you follow the right. The Torah says, when you have a Sanhedrin, there's a machloikis, you follow the right. So the Gemara says, you follow the right. So the same thing, let's say, in one generation. You have a new Shaila which doesn't appear in any of the classical posts. So you have Rabbi Soloveitchik says one, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says the other, phrase, however many Rabbanim have a Hashpanas. So we're presented with a situation, you have many Rabbanim and there's a conflict, so what do you do? So you follow the rite, not the rite of all the rabbis. I have no shaykhahs to face this. There are fine rabbis in Borough Park and in Yerushalayim. Many rabbis have no shaykhahs with them, they have no shaykhahs with me. So why do I have to follow them? They're not my rabbi. I follow those who had a shaykhahs, who have had a Hashpani. The Gedoli Ador, Shebechol Dovador, have a Hashpanas. So those who have had a Hashpanas, those are our Rabbein, so we follow the majority opinion among those. Sometimes the Gemara says you don't follow the majority. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to give the Moshe when we learned the Gemara. He said, you're going to tell me if my grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, says one way, and the whole Rabbinical Council of America says the other way, you're going to say, Acharav Mahatoy. So he said, certainly not. So why not? So he said, because his grandfather knew how to learn better than the Yossiyah. But the Gemara says that you follow Rav even when they're not Tihadodi. Even when the Niyot knows how to learn better than the Rebbe, so he explained, yeah, they come on the first paragraph of Yavamsi 6, yeah, it means if they know how to learn better than the Rebbe, but at least they're in the same league. if it's completely a different league, so then the Gemara says, and the Yerudea, the Shach quotes in the Yerudea, the Gemara, that if one is clearly Gadol B'Chachma than the other one, so there's nothing to discuss. If I have a few Rabbein, if they're not my Rabbein, so I follow my Rebbe, no problem. But if I have several Rabbeim, and I'm in a loss to determine which one to follow, and there's a conflict, so if one of them is clearly greater B'chachma than the other, a completely different league, that there's nothing to discuss, then you don't say Acharam Lahatis. That's what the Gemara says in the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. If it would appear, with all honesty, if it would appear that they're in the same league, then the Gemara says Acharei Rabbeim Lahatis, B'gaman. It was interesting, last year, a woman called me up on the telephone. She heard that I was about to write a tshuva about a certain issue. I told her that I wrote the tshuva, it's printed, it's on sale, she wants a copy. So she wanted to know, a very interesting, the woman tells me she represents 5 women's prayer groups. I don't know who she was. She left her number in the yeshivas, I called her back, 718 number. I don't know where it is. So she told me, she wanted to know, she understands that there's a hierarchy among the rabbis. She wanted to know, did I consult a certain rabbi? She mentioned my name before I wrote my tshuva, or she cuts herself right away. Or maybe the hierarchy is the other way. Maybe I'm higher than him. So I told her, I'm the head of the code. So there was a pause. And she said, she has a weak background in Jewish studies. She doesn't know what that means. Was that the answer? So I said, well, what that means was that I was under the rabbinic faculty of the yeshiva at the time that that young man, that fine rabbi, was a student studying for ordination, and I marked his examination papers. So she said, oh, you mean that you're higher than he is? I said, it could be. So she said, well, did he consult you? So then we had a whole conversation, very interesting conversation. The woman understood on her own that there's a hierarchy among rabbis. So Dava Pasha like that, the Gemara has like that, the Yeridei has like that. Of course there's a hierarchy among rabbis. If you have a person who clearly, leaving out that situation, you have a person who clearly knows how to learn better than someone else. And if Alabas is in doubt as to whom to follow, so if one of the two rabbis is her rabbi, so don't follow the other rabbi. What's the problem? Like this woman first called me up on the telephone. So first she says she understands I'm about to write a tshuva. She wants to discuss it with me. So I said, you don't have to worry. My tshuva is not negated to you. I don't know who you are. You don't have to follow my tshuva. My tshuva is for the people who ask me shailas. People ask me the rabbanim who ask me shailas and hilchas nida, hilchas erevin, hilchas hafrosh eschala, all dalit chalki shulchanot, different things. Those rabbanim, those balabatim who ask me shailas all the time, they ask me what my opinion was on this issue. So I want, for those people, I'm telling you my opinion. You just follow your local Orthodox rabbi. So she said, well, rabbi, that's the problem. My local rabbi was going to sponsor a women's minyan in his shul, and because he heard that the rebbe's and yeshiva were opposed to it, so that's why he's going to be against it. I said, you have a good rabbi? Fine, that he follows his rabbi, but don't speak to me, speak to your rabbi. Every person has to follow his rabbi. If he has a rabbi, he has to follow his rabbi. Charles, what if a person is self-taught? What if a person, chleis, a bal tshuva, never learned in yeshivas? Self-taught man. He doesn't have any rebbe. So whom does he follow? So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Aseh l'harav. You have to get yourself a rebbe. The Torah was not given in 1985. It wasn't given in 1986. The Torah was given in Ha-Sinai a long time ago. Our link to Maimon Ha-Sinai is the Masor of the Torah Shebaal Peh as it's transmitted from generation to generation. Every person has to have a rebbe. You cannot have a person without a rebbe. He has to link up with somebody. His rebbe doesn't necessarily have to be someone who's older than him. It could be someone who's younger. It could be someone the same age. But every person has to have some link to Ha-Sinai. The only koyach, the only authenticity to Shmiras HaMitzvahs and to Torah that we have today is because we assume that this is Mi-Sinai. Gemara has the Lashon many times, the Poskim many times when they write a tshuva, so they write at the end of the tshuva that they're so convinced that this is correct. So they write an expression, Hadvarim Smechim Kinesinasim Mi-Sinai. That the words that we're writing are cheerful, like when the Torah was given to Ha-Sinai means that it's Mamish Emes Lamitoy. And the Yerushalmi Chagiga, Tosis quotes Yerushalmi Chagiga, tells the story the way one of the Balabatim in Yerushalayim made a bris. And they had the Chachamim, the Tanaim were sitting in one room, and the Balabatim were sitting and dancing and singing in the other room. And the Tanaim were talking and learning. And they said, they'll, Anan Bididan, Vino Bididu. We'll do what we're supposed to do, we'll talk and learning, and they'll dance and sing. And a fire came down from heaven, Eshmin Hashemayim came down, and surrounded the Chachamim who were talking and learning. So the father of the baby thought that somebody was smoking or something, and they made a fire. They thought he's going to, they thought they're going to burn down his furniture, burn down the rug or something. So he screamed, what are you doing? You came to burn down my house. So they said, don't worry. When we learn in the base medrash, this fire always comes. This is a fire that illuminates and doesn't burn, and doesn't consume. This is the fire like Hasneh. Hasneh, Bayer, Bayesh, Hasneh, Menuruko. This is the fire from Maimon HaSinai. When we talk in learning, this is in the period of the Tanaim. When we talk in learning, Hadvarim Smechem Kinesinasam Nisinai. This is the Yeshiv Sinai that doesn't consume. So the Yishalmi tells the whole story. He was so inspired by this, he wanted to raise his son as a Talmud Chochamos. The whole koyach of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, the whole koyach of Torah that we have today is because we link everything up to Ha-Sinai, assuming that everything is correct, assuming that we have a Masorah here. So if a person is a Baal Tshuva or something, and he's a self-made mid and a self-taught man, he has to become a Talmud of some Rebbe. He has to link himself up to somebody. He shouldn't become his own Rebbe, an original Mokker, an original Mayan Hamas Gaber. This was exactly the Taina, this Arav Soloveitchik pointed out, this is exactly the Taina of koyach. The Torah says, "Kol ha'edu kulum kedoshim v'vesochem Hashem." Madua tisnasu akal Hashem. So Rashi says, "Why do you call ha'edu kulum kedoshim?" We all heard, "Anochi Hashem lechecha ha'sinai." Why should you be the rav to paskin for us? We can paskin on our own. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Wrong. You have to have a talis. Always has to have tchelis and lavan." Torah wanted to do away with the tchelis. The Chumash has a din. When you have a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzis in each one of the four corners, and the tzitzis should be lavan, and part of the tzitzis should be tchelis. a dark blue, light blue, whatever, some kind of a bluish color. What is the significance of this bluish color? So the Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara, the Tchelet Doma LaYam, the Yam Doma LaRakia, it's the color of the ocean, the color of the sky, the Rakia Doma LaKisei HaKovet, that's the color of the Kisei HaKovet, whatever that means. So what is the Tchelet supposed to represent? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that in the context of Parshas Korach would appear that the Tchelet is supposed to represent that every person should have things that are white, lavan, clear, vor mechuvorim kesimlo. The Rav is many times is masik on the Rambam, and he disagrees and says the Rambam is wrong. So he writes loy mechuvor. It's not white. Chivra means white. When it's right, so we say zeh mechuvar. This is white. This is correct. When it's incorrect, so we say lo mechuvar. The pasuk says parso hasimlo liyene haskenim. So the Gemara says that it means they should be mevara dinyan. It doesn't mean they spread out a dress. The dress that the Chumash is speaking of was a white dress. So the Torah tells us we should have tzitzis that should have lavan. We should know clearly what the mitzvahs of Torah are. But the tzitzis, with all the lavan that it has, always has to have some tchelis. Today we don't have tchelis, we don't know what the chalazon is, but in principle all the tzitzis have to have tchelis. We always have to realize that there is some area of halacha that we don't know that we need a rebbe for. That area of halacha is like the kisei hakovet that we cannot fathom it, we don't know what it's all about. And Korach wanted to do away with that. He said, everything is lavan. I can live without any tchelis. I don't need any rebbe. I heard it, just like Moshe Rabbeinu heard. Anochi Hashem Okech, and I can pass kenamayor. And the Rebbeinu Shalom cited with Moshe Rabbeinu. That is not so, that you have to have a rebbe. Korach's masorah wasn't directly from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Korach had to get his masorah from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's exactly the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Moshe kibbutz Torah miSinai. Why only Moshe? What about everybody else? Then it says, masorah l'Yehoshua. I said, this is Yeshua. Yeshua is not the best Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. The letter says, Elozo was sharper. Elozo mimunach mimenu haya. It was a sharper Talmud Chacham. So why was Mesorah Yeshua? More Talmudim they picked Yeshua. They picked. The Rebbeinu Shalom picked. More Talmudim, the Rebbeinu Shalom picked Yeshua ben Nun to be the Namali Mokham of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why didn't he pick Elozo? And the Gemara in Erevin that the Rambam quotes several times, the Gemara in Erevin discusses the Seder of Limud Torah Shebal Peh. When Moshe Rabbeinu was given the halachas, so first he would teach the halachas to Aharon, and then Aharon would sit down to his right. And then he would call in Elazar b'Yisamar. He would teach the din to Elazar b'Yisamar, and they would sit down one to the right of Aharon and one to his left. And then he would call in the Zekanim, the Shivim Zekanim. He would teach them again the din, a third time say over the din, they would sit down. And then he would call in all of Klal Yisrael, and he would tell them over the din. And he would leave, and Aharon would say over the din. And Aharon would leave, and Elazar b'Yisamar would say over. You don't find Yeshua ben Nun playing any role in the Seder HaMasor. He wasn't the outstanding Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet the Mishnah says, Moshe kibbutz Torah miSinai, Mesorah lo Yehoshua. So the Rambam in the Hakdama to the Yad HaChazaka comments on this. So he writes, Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah to Elozo Yisamar Zekanim, but he was Moshe the Torah to Yehoshua. What does that mean? So the Medrash comments, Rav Soloveitchik once held the whole shir on this. He explained the Medrash comments, why was Yeshua ben Nun the one to be picked? So the Medrash says, because Neitzeh Te'eno Yerichal Tiri, he was the one who was more kafur to Moshe Rabbeinu. He wasn't brighter than the others. Okay, the others are sharper than him. They knew how to say chidushim. They knew how to be mechaben better than him. He was more kafuf to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Medrash says he used to set up the benches. He was masada hafsafsalim. Doesn't mean that the janitor in the yeshiva is going to be appointed the next Rosh Yeshiva. But it means he was more kafuf to Moshe Rabbeinu than the other talmidim. So the one who's more kafuf to the Rebbe is the one who gets mesorah Yeshua. He's the one to whom the Torah is given over to. The Gemara has sometimes, they would ask a shayla of another chacham. A person who wasn't the talmid of the chacham would ask a shayla. So the other chacham would say, l'chi tishamishli. First do some service for me. Kind of a strange thing is that first polish my shoes, first wash the dishes that I have, and then I'll tell you the din. What kind of button are they? Charging him? Telling over the din, he's charging the din. So Balei Musar always said that pshat was, l'chit shamishli. You're not my Talmud. You want to become my Talmud, to be mekabel my din. You have to be mishamish me, you have to be kofif to me. But the Talmud is not kofif to the Rebbe. So what is he? He's not a Talmud. It's Talmud. He's interested in knowing what the other person's opinion is. The ones who receive the Masorah are the ones who are kofif to their Rabbein. When a shayla is posed to a chacham, the chacham has to research the issue, go back to the sources, the Gemara, the Rishonim, the Poskim, relating to that specific topic, and try to find out what is the masorah on the matter. You cannot just make up a psak from the top of his head. There is such a thing as a chiddush, but a chiddush doesn't mean that it makes up yesh mayayin something new. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in one place that the best chiddush is when a person is mechaben to pasha pshat. and he finds out what the Pashuk Pshat is. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik is known as one of the greatest Mechatshim. What did Rav Chaim invent? Nothing. Never invented any new dinim. He just explained well the dinim that appear in the Gemara. He explained the Pasuk in Chumash. What does that din mean? So he defined it well. He gave an uptight, as we say in Yeshivas and Yiddish. He gave a definition. What is the din? Or the Gemara has a din. Mar tells a story and the din is like this. What does that din mean? He didn't add on some new dinim. He didn't say new svaris. He just gave an uptight, a definition of what the dinim are in the Gemara. That's the best chiddush. I'm not trying to solve Rav Chaim. I'm just saying the best chiddush, Rav Chaim Balazsheni says, the best chiddush is Parshat Pshat, when you explain what it says in the text. That's called Seder Sater. Seder Sater that the Gemara speaks of doesn't mean Kabbalah, Sisrei Torah. Seder Sater means what is the Pshat in the Gemara. That's all the Mefarshim say. Of course there's room for chiddush, but the chiddush is not that a person invents something new. A person has to always try to figure out what would my Rebbe say in such a case. What would the Masorah say in such a case? Some Sefer has a Malitza in one of his the Hagdomah to his Tshuvas Nechel Geredeya. He writes an interesting Lashon. The Gemara says that the Talmud Chacham Shamachal Al Kvodo, Kvodo Machal. So the Talmud Chacham can Mechal on his covered. Why? Because Torah Dilehi. It's his Torah. Why is he a Talmud Chacham? Because he's a Mechadish, his Torah Dilehi. As the Pasuk says in the beginning of Tehillim, V'soros Hashem Chefzo, V'soroso Yege, Yom V'Lava. Torosa means his own Torah. The Pasuk Shalom Tati means Torosa Shal Hashem. But the Gemara darshins it as if it says Torah Soshalai, says Torah Dilei, so the Chacham is a Bailim, is a Balabas, to the Mechal on his cover. So the Chassam Sefer writes a Malitza in one of his, in the Hagdomah to his Tshuvas in Chelek Yerudeyim, so he says, Avada there's room for Chidushim, but first you have to have Kimitharas Hashem Cheftzoi. The person has to first learn about the state, has to know a lot of Torah Hashem. And the more he knows Torah Hashem, then the more there's going to be Torah Sod, the more there's going to be original thought that he can add on. And if he knows less Torah Hashem, then there's going to be less room for Chiddush. And our generation, as in many generations before, it's not a new phenomenon, not a Sam Sofer complained about this, the Rambam complains in every generation, the Rabbanim are always complaining, you have Rabbanim who are not familiar with the Torah Hashem, but they have an awful lot of Torah, so they have a lot of Torah delay. You only have the right to say emes a Torah delay, to be mechadish, something new, something original, if you know so much Torah Hashem that you have such a great insight that you can understand something, some new original insight that wasn't there before. But the Chidushim are not new things, you're not inventing something, it's just an uptight, it's just a definition of what state already, what is the Masorah, what is the Kabbalah. Rav Zevin has in his Sefer, Isha Meshitos, a beautiful Sefer, he writes a whole section about Rav Kook, so he quotes one essay where Rav Kook speaks about Rav Leza Hagor, Rav Leza ben Hurkinus. So the Gemara tells us Sukkah of Rav Leza ben Hurkinus that he had a policy, he had a midah, he never said something, Shalai Shama Mipi Rabbeisim. He never said a din that he never heard from his Rebbe. When they would ask him a Shaila, he would start to fared it, saying, start to say something else. And they thought, what is he crazy? Yes, mashallah, about a sukkah, and he starts to talk about the Nevi'im. Didn't he understand? Doesn't he know the din? So he said, well, that's my policy. I know, even if I have a personal opinion, I don't say over a din unless I heard it from my Rebbe. Kacha, that was his policy. He never said over a din that he didn't have the Kabbalah. On the other hand, the Achreinim are bothered with the Kasha. On the other hand, in the Tikkah, the Rav Lezer, which speaks a lot about Rav Lezer Avrol, it says, Rav Lezer ben Hurkinus, Rav Lezer Avrol, Mifloim, such original thought, Shalai Shamasin Oizen Nisina, that from the days that the Torah was given to Hasina till his time, nobody had ever said or heard such Kiddushin Niflaim. So how did the two shtim? It doesn't jive. On the one hand, we say he never said anything that he never heard from his Rabbeim. On the other hand, you say that he said things that were never heard from the days of Hasina Yan. No one ever heard such a thing before. So Rav Kook explained, and many others say the same shat as well. Kook explained that there's no contradiction. What it means is that he never said original dinim Yesh Meyayin. You don't say Chiddushim Yesh Meyayin. You have to say, based on a marker, I heard from my Rebbe this, and my understanding of that is this, that, and the other thing. That's what it means. He said Chidushim, he heard the same Shiurim from his Rebbe that the other Talmidim heard. But he heard it more than the others, and he worked. He had more Yegiyah B'Amol HaShol Torah. So he understood better what his Rabbeim said. So he said things, Shalosh HaMos and Oizim Yisinger, that no one had ever said before. But he wasn't saying on his own. He was saying over what his Masorah was. That was his understanding of his Masorah. Of course there's room for Chidushim. That the Chidushim have to be not Yesh Meyayin. We don't make up Chidush. You don't make up a new din, a new concept, Yesh Meyayin. All the concepts are there already. You just have to know how to apply the concepts. And you have to know how to understand the concepts before one applies the concepts. That's what the Chazon Ish writes in one of his, in the collection of Igros Chazon Ish, in his letters. So he writes that we find it difficult to task him as manazer, or in all generations, for two reasons. First of all, a person has to know the halachas very well. I have to know all the conditions, all the pratim and the pratim, which are so many. Allah is very detailed. And secondly, what's perhaps more difficult is, the Chazon Ish right, to assess a situation, to be able to describe what is it that we have before us, even if you know every sif in the Shulchan Aruch. But does this belong to Sif Beis or does it belong to Sif Yud Gimel? You have to know how to describe what the situation is. You have to understand. You have to have a perception of what you're looking at. What are you? What is it that's under your nose? That's perhaps the most difficult thing. I remember once I live on Bennett Avenue, in between 181st and 184th. Many of you may be familiar with the block, so it's usually lined with cars on both sides. So I have different sizes children. So I was once wanted to walk across the block, in the middle of a long block, once wanted to cross the block with my children. So they looked and they didn't see any cars coming. Of course they didn't see the cars, because the whole block is lined with cars. So how do they see if there's a car coming? And I'm much taller than them. So I said, "Don't go, the cars are coming." So he said, "I thought I had Ruach HaKodesh. How do you know there's a car coming?" They didn't see the car. So I said, "I'm taller than you, I'm just taller. So I see the car coming down the block." So I explained to them, "I can only see the block, the cars coming down the block. I can't see the car that's around the corner on the 184th, because there's a big building there. If I would be taller than that building, I'd even see the block around the corner. It wouldn't be any secret. It wouldn't be any Nevuah. It wouldn't be any Ruach HaKodesh. It's simple." That's exactly what the Yad Ramah writes in his commentary on Baba Basra. I didn't know at that time. The Yad Ramah writes in his commentary on Baba Basra on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk. Ani chaymo v'shadek ha-migdolos. Ani chaymo v'utayla. That the Torah protects the Jewish nation like a wall. Protects whoever is inside. V'shadek ha-migdolos eilo tamir ha-chachamim. That the chachamim are like towers. In what sense are they like towers? So the Yad Ramah explains that a person, in order to understand what the situation is, in order to see what it is before him, in order to be able to pass him, has to be an Adam Gola, has to be a tall person to see what's behind and what's in the future, what the earth lead to. Where is it coming from? Not everybody sees where it's coming from, where it's going to. They have a limited perception. They only see under their noses. I remember soon after Rav Avraham Soloveitchik passed away, so they were publishing essays and books. No one really published a good authoritative biography, but they were publishing different collections at that time. So I remember one line, very striking line, one paragraph remains in my mind, where Rav Avraham Soloveitchik was comparing himself to his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he says, "Oh, I can't compare to my father." He said, "My father, Rav Chaim, had such a penetrative analysis, he could look at a situation and tell you what this will lead to in another 60 years. And I don't have that ability." But he says, "But I have something that many other Rabbanim don't have. At least I see what it is now. The other Rabbanim don't even see what's under their noses. They can't even see what's before their eyes." But to be able really to pass in a shaila, the Yad Ramah says, the Adam Godel is required to be a tall person, like a migdol, like a tower. You should be able to look in the distant past to see where this situation came from, to remember things that other people didn't remember, and to be able to look into the future, which is sometimes not that complicated, not that difficult, in order to see where the things are going to lead. We have the mashal, the situation. Every year, when I hear the Kriyas HaTorah and this parsha, I'm always spoiled about the story of the Bnei Sloit. The daughters of Lot thought that the whole world was destroyed, just like in the Dor HaMabul, the whole world was destroyed, and only Noach and his family were saved. So they thought the whole world was destroyed, and they were the only tzaddikim left in the world. So how will humanity continue if there's only a man with his two daughters? So Olam Chesed Yibana. So that he has to live with his daughters in order to have children. How did humanity develop if there's only Cain and Hevel and his sisters? So they lived with their sisters. So the Kiyam Olam it's Mutah. So that's what the daughters of Lot determined. And the Gemara says there was a big mitzvah. There was a big mitzvah, and the Gemara says that the older daughter, the Bechira, who was with the father the first night, got more reward than the Tzira, who waited till the next night to be with the father. B'shmo shekadma Bechira Letzira Laila Achas, so she was zeicher, the Gemara says, in Bava Kama. She was zeicher that her descendants had been into Klal Yisrael earlier than Amon. The only thing is, the Chumash says that the whole thing was a mistake. The Chumash describes Nera Neros, the Chumash describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Sodom and Amorah, and because Hashem loved Avraham Avinu, and Lot was a nephew of Avraham Avinu, so the Gershom in the schus of Avraham Avinu spared Lot. Lot's perception from his viewpoint was that the whole world was destroyed. Avraham Avinu.